to the Word of God, and we're certainly excited about that as always. And we know that you're going to be blessed. And even now, our choir is going to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Such a song of hope that we shall overcome someday. It's time now for the Word of God. Let's take a moment to bow. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We believe the words to that song. As we come today, we thank you for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It is our prayer that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a word today that comes from the book of Galatians, Galatians 3 and 28. Galatians 3 and 28. If you have found it, say amen. If you're still looking for it, it's there in the New Testament, one of Paul's letters. Amen. And so I take it by your thumbs, and yes, that you've come there, and we let you cheat too. So we have the Word of God on the screen. It reads as follows. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Living in Unity. Amen. Living in Unity.
Yeah.
You know, long before the days of electronic devices and games that people play on their smartphones, on their TVs, or even in the virtual world, in my school, in my neighborhood, there was a very popular game. We couldn't wait to get outside to pick sides for a game called Tug of War. And that game was so exciting. It's a contest, as you well know, that you put persons on both sides. Sometimes there's a mark in the middle. Sometimes there's mud in the middle. But you pull. It is a test of strength. It was always good to know somebody who was strong. Amen?
Amen.
I remember Calvin Mitchell. Calvin Mitchell was the person to call upon if you wanted to win. Right. Calvin was just strong. Now, maybe you were the Calvin Mitchell. Maybe you were that person in your neighborhood or community who was just strong. You still are. And when you were on that team, victory was important. You know, for so many of us, life can be like a tug of war. Many situations in our life, many struggles, the pandemic for so many might be considered a tug of war. We have our own personal challenges.
Well,
one day before the nation celebrates the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and a few days before the swearing in of a new president, our nation, I believe, remains in a tug of war. A tug of war for power, a tug of war for prestige. And unlike the outcome of that neighborhood game, adults have a problem sometimes moving on or giving up. As we saw not long ago, the result was violence and bloodshed and loss of life. So instead of being a nation under God, amen, we became a nation that seemingly liked unity, a nation that liked harmony, a nation that liked solidarity, a nation that liked identity. Well, I stopped by on this Dr. King birthday weekend to encourage the people of God to live in unity.
Amen.
That's what Paul had in mind when he wrote to the church at Galatia, those Christians there in southern Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. Scholars say that Paul started the church during one of his missionary journeys to Asia Minor. But before there was the good Paul, there was the bad Paul, amen, who went by the name of Saul. He was anything but a unifier. Paul would go into homes and he would pull people out if he knew they were Christians. And we have a luxury today in this country to be able to profess our faith on the street corner, on a bullhorn in our homes, that there's not a chance that you get arrested for saying, I am a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Paul would drag people to jail, but one day Paul met his match. There he was on a journey to persecute more Christians, and he was knocked from his beast on the Damascus Road. Couldn't see. And we've all met our match. But God changed his life around and changed his heart and changed his name from Saul to Paul. Let me just stop for a minute. I believe that people can change.
Yeah.
If they want to change, if there's a desire in their heart to be a better person for the Lord. In Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, he learned that they'd fallen into error. Paul always had a way of getting information. People would write, Paul, here's what's going on. And because Paul couldn't always get there, Paul would write a letter to the church. He was concerned about what they were believing and what they were practicing there in Galatia. He laid blame at the feet of Judaizers, they were teaching a strange gospel. We got to be careful today. Strange gospel still exists. Mm-hmm. See, when you read your own Bible, when you begin to study, then you can learn some things there in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the best aid you will ever find. Got to be real careful. You got to have your ears on, so to speak, like they said back in the days of the CB radio, to know what you're listening to. Paul encouraged these believers to embrace unity in Christ. He addressed, I believe, were a couple of things in that passage: ethnic barriers, social barriers, and gender barriers. Let's unpack these in Galatians 3:28. Says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Amen. Jew nor Gentile. What do you mean when you say a barrier? Well, that means that that's something that's in place, a fence or an obstacle that's there to prevent movement or access. My God, if you drive into the nation's capital today, you will see plenty of barriers around the U.S. Capitol, and you'll see barriers around other government buildings across the country. Denying access, denying movement. Amen. In the text today, the believers had to deal with ethnic barriers. It turns out that some of the Jewish teachers insisted that non-Jews or Gentiles obey Jewish laws and traditional rules. The same type of mindset exists today. As an African-American male, I can tell you I'm familiar with ethnic barriers based on my race. Amen. But God has shown me how to get around barriers, how to climb over barriers, how to go under barriers, to do what? To claim the promises that he's given me. And maybe you faced your own ethnic barriers. But don't you know that God is able to do all things, that nobody can stop him? Amen. I believe as a community of faith that we can live in unity, but we've got to address our ethnic barriers. See, Jesus was hated. Oh, yes, he was loving and kind, but there were folk who were out to get him. He didn't just preach unity. He didn't just teach unity, but he prayed unity. Over in the Gospel of John, that's one of the prayers that's recorded from Jesus. He says, I've given them to you. He's praying to his Father, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one just as we are one. And so he prayed unity. And every now and then, you got to pray for unity. It doesn't just happen. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. As we strive to live in unity, we have to deal with ethnic barriers, but also social barriers. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. You know, slavery is a dark chapter in our nation's history. In the early 19th century, there was a bit of an effort of sorts to deal with this social barrier. 50 years before the end of slavery, the American Colonization Society, those who were leaders in the government, says, let's send freed slaves to Liberia, West Africa. And right here in Baltimore, some 12,000 persons around the world, but they came in part from Fells Point looking for a new life. We were able to document that in a documentary called Africa's Maryland. There's a link on our page. You can find it. But I traveled there to document some of that history. You know, Paul tried to help people in Galatia to be free, in Jesus Christ. You know, today we also strive to be free. There are things and people and places that seek to bind us. Amen. But free to serve the Lord with gladness, free to say, you know what? I am a believer in Jesus Christ. We must use that freedom, though, to love one another. Just because you're free is one thing, but using the freedom that God has given you to be a love sharer. Amen?
Amen.
See, we can't wait for a person to free us, to free us from hatred. We can be freed from abuse, from racism, but you got to think free. Amen?
Amen.
How so? Over in John 8:36, and there again, Christ is talking. So if the Son sets you free, if the Son, if Christ sets you free, you not might be, you will be free indeed. Amen. Amen. And what comes with freedom is knowing I've got a free mind. I can think on my own. I got a free mind to the point that I know that this barrier would not get in the way of what God has promised for me. I'm so excited that God has promised each of us something. And so we use this freedom to live in unity, but there are social norms and there are social barriers that exist even today. Amen. So we talk about this sense of barriers being in the way, social barriers and ethnic barriers, but also there are gender barriers. Amen?
Amen.
It says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There were females who served in key positions in the ministry of Paul. There in Corinth, there was Priscilla, who worked alongside her husband Aquila. They were tent makers, and they were about spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't say, wait a minute now, you're a woman, I guess you can't spread the word. No, he did not. Phoebe was a deacon in the church, someone who served faithfully there with Paul and Paul's ministry. Can I go on a little further and talk about Pastor Ollie Graham? That was my grandmother who served in the 1950s at a time it was unheard of that persons, a female, would be pastoring a church. Now, my Uncle Alfonso told me, say, the word was that Grandma Ollie, we called her, got on the roof and did some roofing. She fixed the bathroom up, but she was determined to not look back. But what? To say, I am free to do what? To share the good news of Jesus Christ because he has called me. He is no respecter of persons. Praise God. And when the Lord took her home at 101, I was just getting out on the preaching trail and I was able to eulogize her. Amen. Women were a key part. And they still are a key part. Amen. In the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
That includes his own mother. Mary served all the way to the cross and beyond. Jesus was not selective. I mean, he healed the blind man, and then he healed the woman with the issue of blood. When people brought children to him, he didn't say, wait a minute, now are these boys or girls? He just laid hands and blessed all of them. And the bottom line is, we're trying to be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the design, is for us to be one in Christ. And if you don't believe that, you got a big surprise when you get to heaven. Now, I look over the book of Revelation, and it says, Revelation 7, 9, and 10, after this, and this is John, the Revelator writing there in the Isle of Patmos, says, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Here it is, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So you may as well get ready, because everybody's going to be giving God some praise. Unity should not be optional. We must be one in Christ. I love the words to a song I came across. You may be familiar with. It says, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. We will work with each other. God knows we need that. Side by side, we will work with each other, and folk will know that we are one in the Spirit. That's what Calvary was all about. That's why Jesus came, that there might be this sense of unity. That's why Jesus died, so there might be this sense of unity. That's why Jesus rose, that there might be this sense of unity. I love, in my own mind's eye, I'm a visual learner, I want to get a snapshot of unity. It says, oh, when the saints go marching in.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I want to be in that number. Now, you know, some of y'all can march. Some of y'all were in band. Some of y'all know how to march, but I thank God for Jesus that one day I'll be in that number when the saints go march. I won't worry about who's marching next to me. Yeah. I won't worry about whether or not they're a certain color or a certain social, but I'll just be marching. I'll just be marching on where the streets are paved with gold. We are being called to live in unity. It ought not be something that said, well, I'll get around to it. Paul says, listen, I'm just trying to lay it out. Living in unity. That's the word of God today. It's already blessed. Yeah. Let's bow today. Heavenly Father, we come in faith, believing that we can be better than who we are currently. God, you sent Jesus Christ for that very reason, that we might become more. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Come on now.
As we come today, God, we know that there are persons whose hearts you have to change. Start with us today, God. Change our hearts and our minds. And to do that, we've got to open our hearts to you. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And today, God, for someone today who does not feel free, I pray even now that you might bring them into the family of God.
Yes.
If you're there today, we know that God is faithful. We ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We bless the Lord today. We've got to do better as a people, and I believe that we are. Amen.